Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Durga Radha Devadari Gaurabhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Thank you all very much for coming to this seminar called Sharanagati, the sixfold processes of surrender. Actually, Sharanagati is the most important aspect of our life, and I will tell you why by using a little example which will make it a little clear. Just yesterday, as we came to the border of Slovenia, I was thinking about this. What if the people say, sorry, you cannot enter the sacred ground of Slovenia? There was Nandi Mukhi and Krishnarangi and Poonamasi standing there smiling dobrodošli. And for a moment I was thinking, what if the people, these officials, would say, you have to go back to Germany, you are not qualified to enter into Slovenia. There are many things in your car which just totally disqualify you. You cannot mix with the Slovenian people, and you are not allowed here. Go back. I was thinking how terrible it would be. So, this is a situation which all of us confront in our daily lives. We all want to be in blissful Krishna consciousness, but sometimes it seems that there is a granica and we are not allowed to go through this granica. We are told, go back, you are not allowed in blissful Krishna consciousness. In fact, there is a borderline between material consciousness and spiritual consciousness. There is a granica, a very strong granica separating us between the material world and the spiritual world. And this border is a border of false ego. It is separating us from entering into spiritual consciousness. It will also separate us so that we cannot go into the spiritual world. Now this border can only be overcome if you have a visa in your passport. A very special visa. A stamp, bang, which has to be given to you by the Sampradaya, our school of spiritual teaching. The stamp will say Sharanagati. Only if you have this stamp in your life, Sharanagati, then you will be able to penetrate the border, the granita of false ego, which separates us from material, which separates us from Krishna consciousness. Now, this visa, so to say, this visa of Sharanagati was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to the material world to give this visa, to explain to us the six ways of surrender. And only if we learn these six ways of surrender in a nice way, we will be able to cross the borderline. We will go into Krishna consciousness. Now, do you want this? First of all, you know, when we make a journey, we have to ask ourselves the question, do you want to make the journey? Do you want to travel from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness? Do you want to travel from the material world to the spiritual world? You have to think about this very carefully. See, you don't get a visa if there is a journey which you don't feel inspired for. Who wants to make this journey? Some of you are not yet sure, I see, and they keep their hands. Let me first hear about this journey. Let me weasley, if I want to make this journey. Then I will decide if I will get the visa. First I will think a little. And so I will be, you will be happy to know, this seminar will be held for two kinds of listener. The first listener I will address in this seminar is the one who wants to go back home, back to Godhead. He is the one who wants to travel from the material consciousness to the spiritual consciousness. The second listener is a skeptic who is not totally sure if he wants to come into spiritual consciousness, but who would like to hear about it, who would like to get a little information whether or not this is desirable, yes or no. So we were talking, to make this journey you need a visa. Like when I go to Serbia, I'm not qualified to go there without a visa, so I have to first purchase a visa. So this is your visa which you will need. There are six steps. For those of you who want to take notes, this is a time to take. The first step is dānya, or humility. The second is ātmā nivedana, or dedication of the self. The third is gaptritve varana, that means acceptance of the Lord as one's only maintainer. The fourth is the consciousness of avashya rakshibe Krishna. It means Krishna will surely protect me. The fifth is bhakti anukula matra. This is execution of only those acts which are favorable to pure devotion. And the sixth is bhakti pratikula bhav. That is renunciation of those activities which are not helpful for developing Krishna consciousness. These are the six steps on the path of Krishna consciousness, which we will discuss today, on the path of surrender. But I want to really describe to you a little bit why the process of Krishna consciousness is dependent on surrender to Krishna's plan and to devotees of Krishna. There is a logic of surrender here. The logic is that at a moment where you have no other choice, you really surrender. Let us have an example. Let us say you are in the desert and you are extremely thirsty. At this particular moment, when you see a person who says, come with me, I will show you where you can drink some water, you practically have no other possibility than to just follow what he does. That's what is meant with the example of surrender. Or let us say you are badly diseased and the doctor comes with some medicine. At that moment where you have really tried everything, you have to have a little trust and take the medicine. You have not much choice any longer. The logic of surrender, in other words, is there for someone who sees really he has no other choice than doing it. Now, do we have another choice than to surrender if we want to become Krishna conscious? This is my question. Many spiritual paths are there who say, yes, let us practice yoga, become healthy and strong, and at the time of death we shoot ourselves into the kingdom of deathlessness. We leave the body and by some pranayama exercise we going to the world free from birth and death. Others say, well, Sharanagati, well, there is karma. I can do my activities in a very perfect way, and then by my activities I will solve the dilemma of my life. And there are the jnanis, the intellectuals, who say that by their thoughtful intellectual speculations they can come to the to some realization in spiritual life. Now, as far as Krishna is concerned, the merciful Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he says this material energy cannot be overcome in any other way than in by surrendering to me. Gai vishesha gunamayi mama maya duradyaya mam eva ye prapadyante mayam vitang tarantite. He makes the point that this material energy is so powerful. No one can escape the influence of the material energy. You all have to die. You all have to become old. You all have to become diseased. This material energy, in other words, is so powerful that it can be overcome only, this is Krishna's logic, if Someone surrenders unto me the personality of Godhead, and I take him out of the material energy. See, in the face of the powerful material energy which keeps the soul in bondage since time immemorial, it's not possible without surrender. You are not strong enough on your own to overcome death, to overcome the influence of Maya on your consciousness. It doesn't work. In a philosophy, there are two kinds of ways. One is the way of the cat and one is the way of the monkey. When the cat carries its young kitten, it's a strong mother who has a weak young in her mouth, and it can carry the young kitten very easily from one place to the other. However, there is the way of the maimon, the monkey. In this case, the young monkey baby catches hold of the old one and has to be careful to remain on the back of the old one. I just, last time when I was in India, I saw, you know, I walked by our Krishna Balaram Mandir, and all of a sudden I heard this, and I knew monkeys on the roof, and I saw an old monkey galloping on the, you know, on the side roof, this little Vorsprung, this little thing, and then jumping over to the Gurukul building. And somehow the monkey mother landed in a very bad way, and the young lost hold. The young monkey baby lost hold and fell down on the ground just before me. Crash! And we could only bend down, you know, go into the ear of the monkey baby and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And then it gave up the life before our eyes. And when I thought of this, when I saw this, I was moved, and I said, yes, the monkey way is not so secure. This never happens with the old cat, because, see, it is a question of the distribution of power. Here the powerful cat is in control of the transportation, whereas here the weak monkey, and the monkey way, the weak monkey is in control and loses control very often. There are many dead monkeys, babies lying around from this process of, you know, trying to do it on your own, with your own strength. We have seen many times those who follow the mystic path of elevation, or those who even in Krishna consciousness try the path of I can do it on my own, they have serious accidents. You can see amongst even devotees, those who do not choose the path of Sharanagati, the path of surrender, but who want to take things in their own hands, they often have serious accidents on the path of Krishna, on the path of spiritual life. We hear that even great powerful yogis have been bewildered again by the material energy after reaching a high state of spiritual life and falling down from their path into ordinary material life. So, therefore, let us choose the way of the cat, where we become dependent, where we surrender to Krishna and evoke his milost, his mercy upon us, so that we are carried by the strong Supreme Personality of Godhead in our lives. Now the path of surrender to Krishna is not so easy, because there is a mountain between us and God. And to surrender to Krishna, we need to cross over this mountain. There is one interesting verse in this connection. It says, Ahankara nivritanam keshavo nahi duraga Ahankara yutanam hi matya parvata. Parvata means mountain, rashaya. The Supreme Lord Keshava is only in the found in the association of people who are free from the material conception of life. Between the Lord and the self-centered egoists, there is a huge mountain of false ego which has to be crossed. So if you want to come to the realm of Krishna consciousness and surrender to the Lord, you need to cross this mountain of false ego. Do you know of this mountain? It is in your own heart. A big, big mountain range, like the Alpanitska, the Alpine mountains. It has to be dismantled, finished. Then only you can surrender in full strength. In our Vedic mantras, we often have the word Namaha. Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine. Na means not, and Ma means, Namaha means the Lajanan ego, the false ego. This has to be given up if you want to be carried by the Lord. The Lord does not carry you over the ocean of birth and death if you have not made the endeavor to cross the false ego. So just to surrender, this is what I want to say, just to hope for the mercy of the Lord is, in other words, not enough. You also, if you want to make this journey, have to do something. You have to walk over your false ego. You have to cross it. And for that we will discuss the first step which someone has to do in order to get the, let me say, the mercy of the Lord. I want to summarize where we are in our seminar. Our first step was to discuss the logic of surrender. Our next step was that we can only hope to become Krishna consciousness and go to Krishna by mercy, because we need mercy to overcome the mighty material energy. This we have illustrated by giving example of the cat who takes on the strong little cat baby. Now we have said, we are all mercy cases. We need the milast of Krishna. But that does not mean that we just sit and think, oh, let us wait until the mercy comes. I'm just sitting here day after day in the night asleep, year after year, and just wait until from somewhere the mercy descends. No, we have said a little endeavor must be done for someone, and that is he must cross the mountain of the Lajanan ego, the false ego. Huh? You are following me? Do you think this is all right? about it? Yes? So therefore, now we will become mountaineers. Enough with this lazy mentality of just sitting. I'm sitting here and waiting. Now we will be mountaineers. We will give you all your boots. We will give you ropes. We will give you, you know, I don't know, there are some crazy people who climb without anything, the free climbers. but we will be knowing that this is a heavy mountain, we will take the right gear, you know, and really start walking. I remember when I was at the last year, no, 1 year before, I met Reinhold Messner. Do you know Reinhold Messner? Yes? He is a little emotionally disturbed, I would say. He showed me a picture where he is climbing a mountain which goes like this, and all he has is these two, they look like hammers, and he is tick, 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 you know, just climbing that mountain, trying to defeat the mountain, you know, to climb the mountain. I think if he continues like this, he will die one day. So if we, when we say, let us become mountaineers and climb the mountain of our false ego, please, we don't encourage you to do free climbing. You will have security. It won't be so heavy. The mountain, of course, is very heavy. It is described in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that everything in this world which you can see and perceive is a manifestation of ego. The gross matter which we see comes from the element ego under the force of ignorance. The mind with which we think is also a product of false ego under the mode of goodness. And our intelligence and our senses are born from false ego under the mode of rajas, or passion. In other words, everything which surrounds us is a product of false ego. To climb false ego or cross false ego is a difficult task. But there is one very good way. It is described that you can do the first step in this journey if you become if you learn the secret of Dainya. What this is, I will explain now to you. There's a very nice song in this connection, which I will just try to sing for your pleasure. Please don't laugh, because I'm not Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. Can't sing so nice. Amara jivana sada papirata nahi ko punyera lesh parera udvega niyachi ekoto niyachi jivera klesh nija suka lagi pape nahi dori dayahina swata paro parasukke duki sadamitya bashi paradukka sukha karo. This is a song sung by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and please listen how Bhaktivinoda Thakur practices Dainya. He separates himself from the false conception who he is. He becomes very, very small. He says, my life is ever given to sin. In it, there is not a particle of good. I have caused others great anxiety and have troubled all souls. For the sake of my own enjoyment, I have never hesitated to perform sinful acts. Devoid of all compassion, I am concerned only with my selfish interests. Perpetually speaking lies, I become dejected when I see others happy, whereas the misery of others is a source of great delight for me. There are limitless material desires within the core of my heart. I'm a person who easily is angry, fond of exhibiting arrogance, intoxicated by vanity, and bewildered by worldly affairs. I wear the cherished ornaments of envy and egotism. You know, some of us have ornaments, kavachans, nose rings. A person in material consciousness has other ornaments. Envy. And egoism. Let me tell you of this foolishness by explaining to you a story about this ornament, envy and egotism, which stops us from being humble. Once there was a man who went into a forest to pray to a duh, a ghost. After some time the ghost came and said, what can I do for you? And the man said, give me anything which I want. Okay, said the ghost, but, Medyuta, I will give your neighbor double as much. Yeah, said the man, double. First give me a nice house. Tatastu, said the ghost, so be it. So the man came to his place where he used to live, and he found a beautiful house, much like this house outside there. And he felt so happy because he didn't have a house before. But then, as he looked through the window, he saw that at the place where his neighbor lived, there was a two-story house. And he became so envious. This neighbor, he's so unqualified, whereas I am so qualified. Oh, I'm so sorry. And his heart was burning with envy. Then he went back to the forest and said, Dragi, do, my dear ghost, give me a four-story house. No, one, two, three, four-story. Tatastu, said the ghost. When he went home, he saw a wonderful palace with four stories, and he ran through it and enjoyed it. But then he looked through the window, and he saw at the place where his neighbor used to live, there was an eight-story house. He became so sad. No happiness for my life as long as this Nitko, this rascal neighbor also gets body enjoyment. So then he went back to the man, to the ghost, and said, I'm so sad, what to do? The ghost couldn't help him. He said, you will always suffer as long as you remain envious in your heart. So the man thought. He thought for 1 month. He thought for 3 months. And then he had an idea. He went to the ghost and he said, "My dear ghost, may I only have one eye. May I lose the second." There was pain, but he didn't notice it. All he wanted to see is, "My neighbor, my neighbor, my neighbor." And when he finally found him, his neighbor had lost also the second eye, double as much. Then he felt happy for 1 hour. But the rest of his life, he felt painful and sorry. Ja, Schmerz, viel Schmerz. So, if we don't become humble, if we don't become free from the ornament of envy and egotism, we will suffer. The path of surrender is, in other words, to our own good. Bhaktivinoda says, "I'm ruined by laziness." Laziness means lenost. And in Croatian, in Slovenian, lenoba. "I'm ruined by laziness and sleep. I resist all pious deeds, yet I'm very enthusiastic to perform wicked acts. For the sake of worldly fame and reputation, I engage in the practice of deceitfulness." I cheat. So in this way, I don't want to make you all sad, you know, when you hear this. Does it sound like you, or does it sound like a different person? I don't know. You can recognize? No, really? I can't recognize you in that. Isn't it when we hear such words, we think of, there are some parts which are true. They describe me. So this is how you can become humble. In psychology we learn, first of all, you have to recognize the problem. If you want to change anything in your life, you have to actually do these four things. You have to recognize that there is something to be changed. Then you have to regret. You cannot be proud, or I'm happy to be proud. And then recognize, you have to first you have to recognize and you have to regret it. That means you have to feel sorry for it, and then you have to rectify it. These are three steps, not four. This is what we must do in our lives when we want to practice humility. So I want to just give you a tip how to become humble. The best way to become humble really is to concentrate on someone who is great, on Krishna and on his pure devotee, the spiritual master. If you compare yourself with Sri Krishna's holy name, for instance, then you will see you are next to nothing. But if you compare yourself, you know, or if you look at your spiritual master or a nice devotee, you notice, "Oh, I'm next to nothing." But if you compare yourself with a little ant, Maravam, yes, then you think, "Oh, I'm very strong actually. I can eat much more than the ant, and I can walk much faster." So if you want to practice the art of humility, you have to see yourself in relationship to the great.
Once there was a great king called Akbar, and Akbar once drew a line with a chalk in his court, and he then called all his clever ministers together and said, how can one make this line appear smaller without erasing it? Those of you who know the answer, who have heard me talk about this, don't raise your hands. I want to ask now and see all of you. So how can you make this line smaller without how can you make this line appear smaller without erasing it? What is the answer? We have very intelligent people here. They stand further away. It's an interesting answer. It's actually true. You're extremely intelligent. Practical intelligence. Yes, you are also intelligent. I am very varied with my points, you know. Hopefully they are not too simple. This devotee has given the answer. Acha. So Birbal, the minister, what he did is, you know, all the ministers said, how to make this line smaller, this is impossible without erasing it. But then Birbal, the minister, draw a second line which was bigger, like, what is your name? Tomislav has said, when there is a bigger line, the first line appears smaller, isn't it? So, in the same way, if you want to practice humility in your life, don't think about your own greatness too much. It's, by the way, not so great. You meditate about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and about His pure devotees. Mm. It is described in Shastra that when you want to chant the holy name in a very nice way, you have to live by the verse Trinadapi Sunichena Taro Ivasa Vishnuna Avadina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. We have our Namaruchi party. This is how you get Namaruchi, taste in the holy name, by thinking yourself lower than the straw in the street. And what this actually means is, you change your rounds and you think, I am a small soul. I have fallen away from the kingdom of God into this body, which is a product of larger than ego, of false identification. And I am only the humble part and servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you think yourself in relationship to Krishna, then it works very nice. When you, for instance, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you should think, I'm speaking Krishna's name. I'm glorifying Krishna. My dear Krishna, please engage me in your slujba, in your service. When you have this meditation, when you chant, then you can chant in the humble state of mind, because you see yourself in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I will end now. I have so many things to say, but you have so many notes, but I can't do everything. Yeah. So a devotee who practices humility, he sees that he is very dean, he is very fallen, but at the same time he has great hope in his heart. He knows, my dear Lord, I am worshipping your lotus feet, which can easily destroy all conditions of material existence. Your lotus feet are like...
I know it's always difficult to ask the first question. This Namaha, that is from the Padma Purana, and when I spoke about the mountain, this shloka is from the Brihat Vaivarta Purana. It is mentioned, Prabhupada quotes these verses there, but it is not a verse of the Bhagavatam and Bhagavat Purana and Srimad Bhagavad Gita. I can give it to you afterwards. You can write it down. Yes. It's in German language, unfortunately, but we have so many talented translators here. No problem. Yes. Really? You're a special soul. It's a fact what our devotee says. Often pride comes with a new disguise. You become proud that I'm a devotee of Krishna. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave us the broomstick meditation. This is very good. Are you afraid of this meditation? I don't know. Sounds heavy. The broomstick meditation. Each morning we should beat our mind with a broomstick. And what does this mean? You should think, today I will not find faults in other devotees. And today, I will not think I'm a great devotee. This is the way. You have to take this broomstick meditation from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And why should you be proud? You should meditate about this verse. This is what this song Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Amada Jibana. I wear the cherished ornaments of envy and egotism. I'm rejected by godly people, a constant offender, worn out and wasted by various miseries. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays like this. Shouldn't we also pray like this? I will repeat these questions for the devotees who cannot hear so well. What is the difference between pride in the material world and pride in the spiritual world? See, pride in the material world is always accompanied with its younger brother. He never comes alone. That's envy. You know, the proud man who drives a Porsche. I don't know if you have Porsches in Slovenia. Mercedes-Benz. You know, and he's so proud. Now, if someone comes, what is it? Bathing resort, Nandimukhi, we were there, and we had this concert from Transcendence, Puerto Prevenue, Porto Roche. I saw in Porto Roche, you know, this pride people with their big cars,
and golden chain on the brown chest. So proud, you know. But I remember there was just one small scene. And then someone came, who sat in a Mercedes-Benz, or some, I'm not an expert in cars, some Nemechka car. And then came another big man with a Rolls Royce, and he had, you know, a song on the radio player. You know, and this man in the Mercedes, and you could see his face was becoming dark, and he was envious. But in the spiritual world, you may be proud, but I'm a devotee of Krishna. Finally, I made it. But you should not be envious. If you are envious, you have a material proud. Never devotees. You're just happy and proud. It says, proud, pride I will purify by being proud to be a devotee of Krishna. This is Narottama Thakur. It says like this. I belong to the Achyuta Gotra. You belong no longer to the Milosevic family, but to the family of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's a reason for celebration. So, if you want to be proud, then be proud of this, that you are a member of the transcendental family, but never be envious of other devotees or even of karmis. If there's envy there, then your pride is material. What is real humility, is the question. Real humility is a spiritual vision of realness, of reality. Once again, real humility is a spiritual vision of reality. In real humility, you understand yourself to be different from the body, but to be an eternal soul. That's a reality. You understand yourself as being small. That's a reality. Material humility is sometimes you, oh, I can't do anything, oh, no one likes me, oh, you know, it's a lamentation of the mind. Krishna. So now I think we are soon coming to the end of our time. I think we are already over time. No, when is the next one? 12 and 10. And now I want to make a little group exercise with all of you. There is one very, very nice verse which I feel every one of you should look at from time to time. It is said, if you want to surrender to Krishna, you only need to say something. See, and the Lord will accept you. See, the Lord, I think you remember, when Lord Ramachandra came to deliver Sita from the hands of Ravana, he made a camp on the Indian Ocean. He wanted to cross the Indian Ocean to go to this island called Lanka, on which this demon Ravana lived, who had kidnapped Sita. So he was camping there, and all of a sudden the sky was becoming dark, and winds came. And then he saw in the sky three people, three powerful demons. Hanuman and all the warriors who were on the side of Ram immediately jumped to their weapons, and then these demons moved through the sky, and they landed. And Hanuman wanted to kill, but Ram said, wait, let us see what they want. It was Bibisan, the brother of Ravana, and he said, my dear Lord, I want to stop being a non-surrendered And Hanuman said, don't believe him, don't believe him. He's just coming to be a spy. But Bibhishan said, I'm tired of this material life. Although I'm born in a family of non-surrendered souls, today I want to surrender. And at that time, Ramachandra spoke a verse, and I'm going to say this with all of you. Sakrit eva prapanuyas tavasmiti charyachate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadam yutat bratam mama. Lord Ramachandra said this, and please repeat after me. No, please first hear it, and then you can see if you want to repeat it after me. Just first hear it. Who surrenders to me this determination by saying, my dear Lord, from this day on, I'm yours. And who prays to me for strength, to such a soul, I give immediately the necessary strength. This is my promise. He will always live from this moment on under my protection. Isn't that a nice verse? Lord Ramachandra says, someone just says, my dear Lord, from this day on, I'm yours. Then the Lord gives him the strength of will to do it. So let us, those of you who want to say it, I always like to say it with everyone. My dear Lord, from this day on, I'm yours. He prays for strength to get the willpower. And he prays for strength to get the willpower. I will give such a devotee immediately the necessary strength. Immediately the necessary strength. This is my promise. From that day on, he will always live under my protection. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Saranagati ki jai, Guru Premanand ji hari hari bol.
Divine Gaya Sri Asatya Swami ki jai.